bring Ty up. I don't have the relationship as far as years with Ty as like Mark and Mark do. But I consider him and Debbie to be good friends and even better brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Amen. So if you would, give Ty a big round of applause.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Dusty. Amen. It's a brother. Well, there's a lot of years here. I've been coming, and I think I was looking at and back up, and I think it's like 2010, 12, somewhere around there is the first time I've been here. And so we've been coming a long time. But I see a lot of new faces. How many, this is the first time I've got to see you, or you've got to see me. Look at that. That's most of you. Well, I'm glad to see you guys, and it's good to be here. Debbie and I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Let me introduce my beautiful wife, Debbie. Stand up. That's Debbie Barker. We both grew up in the panhandle of Oklahoma. She's from Guymon, Oklahoma. How many's ever been through Guymon? It's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. That's what I used to say out there. And then I grew up in Laverne, Oklahoma. Don't hold that against me. I moved a long time ago. But we live in Tulsa now, and we are so excited to be here. We also have some great friends. Dusty mentioned them, but I want to introduce them. Jared and Michelle, why don't you stand up? They're from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they drove all the way just to be here today. Michelle has some family that live in Elk City, and so she's spent a lot of time out around this part. But Jared, this is the first time to Leedy, isn't it? And so I'm glad that you welcomed them, and so we're thankful that they came. But we're excited to be here, and Pastor Mark Haney and Mark Ward and I go back a lot of years. I hated to even figure it up, but we played together for the Woodward Travelers 36 years ago. That's hard to say right there, 36 years ago. But so I've been connected with Pastor Mark and Mark Ward for a lot of years. In fact, Mark Ward and I go back even further than that when our brothers played together. But I'm excited to be here. And Pastor Mark and I talked a couple of times this week, and we were just sharing what God's doing. I want to just take a second of time and thank you guys for allowing your pastor to do what the Bible commands him to do, is take time and sabbatical time away. And if you read the Bible, God's very insistent on that. And there's a reason. And I prophesied over Pastor Mark. I said, you're going to have, in your quiet time, you're going to hear from God at a different level. And so when you give him time to do that, that is only for your benefit. He's going to come back with a hotter word, a fresher word, a more fired up word. And so I want to thank you guys for doing that. A lot of times we look, I grew up, my dad was a pastor, my granddad was a pastor, so I grew up in this, and a lot of people say, well, that preacher, he's only up there once a week. You don't understand. Debbie and I, we're director of team pastors at our church in Tulsa, and it is 24/7. Our phones can ring at any time, and we got to jump and be there for families that need us. Debbie and I, we were not too long ago, had a phone call, and we had to run to the hospital. You know, we were going somewhere else, but all of a sudden, we had to change. And pastors have to do that, and it's not just once a week on, giving out a sermon. He's praying for you all the time. He's interceding for you all the time. He's visiting people. He's doing those things, and so it's a much-needed thing, and I can say that because I'm a visitor, but I want to just thank you all for giving him that time, because I know it's needed, and I know it's going to come back with a harvest coming back. Can I hear an amen for that? And so Dusty said I need an hour 45 minutes. I'm not going to quite take that. Probably hour 40 at least. No, it's going to be quick and sweet today. But I'm excited to get into the Word. Before we do, we have a table back there, and if you have ever heard me before, it's called a resource table. It's not a product table. We're not here to sell anything. We believe the Word of God changes and transforms your life. I had one amen, and I brought him with me. How many know the Word of God can transform your life? And so that's what we do, those. We call them resources, because those resources you can take with you, and you can listen to them over and over again. Faith comes by, and by hearing. That's something that we have that the world doesn't have. There's an anointing when the Word of God is preached. Come on, I'm just now getting started. There's an anointing on the Word that I can pick up something that was preached 15 years ago, and that anointing is still alive and on it. And so you can take these and play them in your car, play them wherever you're going. We have them in CD, DVD, we still carry those, but I've also got a lot of the things on USB drives now, so you can put it on your computer, put it on your phone, whatever you want to do. But we put those resources back there for you to take and to get transformation in your life. And this is how much I believe in that. If there's something back there that you can't afford, it's not in your budget, but you really need it, you come talk to me, I'll buy it for you. I only have two conditions. If I buy one for you, you have to promise you're going to listen to it, and then when you're done with it, you give it to someone else that needs it. But I'll buy it for you. And so I just brought a couple up here to talk about. This one's like a broccoli message. How many of you love powdered sugar donut messages? This is a broccoli message, but it's on patience. How many love patience? Let me just test you here. I want patience, and I want it. I got the right crowd because we want patience and we want it yesterday. But how many of you know patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit? And so it's something as a believer. Come on, how many believers do I have in here? Let me see your hands because I can't tell by your faces this morning. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're born again, that Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And one of the things that naturally should be coming out is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness. But then he mentions one that I wished he wouldn't have put in there, but he says patience. And my version says long-suffering. If there's ever two words that should not be put together, it's long and suffering. But patience, James says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Come on, how many want to have zero lack in your life? If your hand's not up, I want to talk to you later, because how many want zero lack in your life? Come on, I'm a voting preacher. I'm going to make you raise your hands a lot. Keeps you awake. If you want zero lack in your life, the key to it is a thing called patience. And we don't like patience, but when we grow in it, it really produces in our life. And so today, I wanted to focus on that because it's going to go right in line with what else I'm going to speak. We did, in fact, Jared and Michelle are part of a leadership team that we do. And this summer, we did a revival. And we didn't talk about revival. You know, a lot of preachers, they'll say, I'm going to talk about revival, but they just talk about something that's coming. How many of you know revival's now? If you didn't know it, let me just introduce. If you didn't know it, revival's happening here today. It's been happening. And revival, by just pure definition, what's the prefix re on revival mean? It's something that's going to happen again. And in fact, in this word, we were once vived, but now we need to be revived. This is, you know, when we hear revival, a lot of times we think about the world and getting saved. And we always pray, even during revival, for believers or unbelievers to get saved. But revival is really about the church getting revived and going to a different level. Amen. And so we had revival. We didn't talk about revival. We had revival. And one of the messages we talked about was being a doer of the word. You know, the Bible in James again says, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer. And I quoted that wrong a long time because I quoted it just like I just did. But that verse actually says, don't just be a hearer of the word, and so deceive yourself, do what it says. You know, you can come and hear the word. In fact, God spoke this to me. He says, there's a lot of people in my church that are deceived, thinking the relationship with me is better than it is. Because they come to church, they hear a good message. You can hear a good message, you can high-five Pastor Mark on the way out and do back handsprings all the way to your car. But if you don't go do anything with it, you're deceived. And a lot of us, we feel better about ourselves because we come hear the word. But what we've got to do, and that's why I always encourage people to take notes. Because what you need to do is get that word and then say, all right, Holy Spirit, how do I apply it to my life? Because if you're here today, the word's for you. A lot of times I sit there and I listen to a word and I say, oh, you know so-and-so, they really need to hear this. I know y'all don't do that, but I do that. But if I'm there, it's not for so-and-so, it's for me. And so that we've got to be doers of the word. And today I'm going to preach the second part that we did on this in the message today. And so are you ready to hear the word? Amen. Let's stand our feet. Got to make sure you're good and awake before we get started. Lord, we just thank you for the word of God. We just thank you, Holy Spirit, that even as we begin to worship, you said you inhabit the praises of your people. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you entered into this place. And Father, I just thank you. I yield myself to you. I pray that you use my mind, think through my mind, speak through my mouth with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. Lord, I just pray that it's not my words, but your words. And Lord, let us be quick to hear and quick to obey your word. Let us be quick to hear and our hearts receive that implanted word and it produce in our life. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. And everyone agrees, say? Amen. Well, slap a high five or two before you're seated. Glory-lugia. So today, how many like this picture? I don't know if you can see it very well. It's actually better back there. You might turn around. But that looks like my backyard right now. How many's got some really dry ground right around you? In fact, Dusty, that's one of the first things Dusty said. He goes, yeah, we're dry out here. And I said, yeah, I saw some of the ponds coming in, and they were dry. But look at that dry, cracked ground. But what's coming right up? Just a bouquet of flowers. And today, we're going to kind of talk about that. The title of the message today is Embrace the Tough Times. How many's had some tough times? How many don't like to have tough times? 100% on that one. You know, we sang a song today, I'm going to get the victory. How many believe we're going to get the victory? You know, John tells us, hey, he's there in the world, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. But be a good cheer. I've overcome all of those things. To have victory, you have to go through a battle. A lot of us, we want the victory without ever going through anything. And what I've learned in my life, this message is 20 years in the making. And what I've learned is those tough times, as bad as they were, as hard as they were, they helped me and they shaped me. And what I've got to learn to do is when I'm going through, and how many know we're supposed to not camp out in a tough time, we're supposed to go through it. How many want a scripture for that? Psalms 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't camp out, we don't build a log cabin, we go through the valley. The tough time that you might be going through right now, you're not going to be there forever. You're going through it. Come on, I need an amen right there. So how many's going through a tough time in your life right now? Let me just see that. And how many think you might go through a tough time? If your hand's not up, just go ahead and get it up. The Bible promises we're going to go through tough times. But, again, like I said, John says, be a good cheer. I've overcome this. And so we're going to learn to not just cry about or whine about our tough times. We're going to learn to rejoice through those because they're helping us. You got your Bible with you? Turn to Genesis 29. Hey, at our church, when we open the Bible, we give a big old woo. Come on, let me hear a woo back there. You need to get excited about the Word of God. I had three people from home over there, and none of you wooed. So, All right. Genesis chapter 29. Now, we're going to set up this story. How many remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? All right? Yeah, those are kind of the big three back in the Old Testament. Abraham tells his son Isaac, he goes, hey, when it comes time to get married, he goes, don't marry out of these Philistine women. Go back to the homeland and get a wife. And so he did. And now Isaac tells Jacob the same thing. We're getting ready to read about Jacob, and he says, don't marry from these ladies here. Go back to the homeland and get those. How many know? The Bible says, be equally yoked. And all the married people say, amen. Make sure, you young people that are looking, you young people that someday will be looking, make sure God has that perfect person for you, that they're a believer, and that y'all are going to run this race together. Come on, amen for that. So he's going back to his homeland. He's going to get a wife there. So he travels back. Let's pick up the story. Genesis 29, verse 1, and it says this. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of his people of the east. And he looked, and he saw a well in the field, and behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered their flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth and water the sheep. But the stone, put the stone back in its place, the well's mouth. And Jacob said to them, my brethren, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. Then he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." So he said to him, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." So this is family. Skip on down to verse 13. Then it came to pass when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son. So this is his uncle, Jacob's uncle. He ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. So Laban, he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing?" What's the answer to that? No, let's get paid. He says, "Tell me what your wages should be." Verse 16, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was? Come on, shout it out. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was? All right, we're going to be talking a lot about Leah and Rachel today. So the older was? Younger was? Rachel, Leah and Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Now stop right there. Now this is a very interesting verse. Leah's eyes were delicate, and then it says, but Rachel was really pretty. So that's a really nice way to say Leah was not that pretty. If you come up to me after the service and say, "Ty, your eyes are really delicate," that's not going to be nice. So in other words, Leah wasn't the best looking in his eyes or the writer's eyes, but Rachel was what? Beautiful in form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, and so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." So man, that's some big wages. He wants to marry Rachel. He says, "Laban, I'll serve you for 7 years." And who's he going to serve for? I underlined it in red for you. Rachel, the younger daughter. And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than to give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob, all right, verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. All right, for who? Rachel, and they seemed like only a few days because the love he had for her. And all the ladies said, how nice. Served 7 years for her hand in marriage, but it only seemed like a few minutes. That's awesome. That's a hallmark right there. Verse 21. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for her days are fulfilled, then I might go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. So they're going to have a wedding party. Verse 23, now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. Now who? He took Leah and brought her to Jacob and went into her. And Laban gave his wife Zilpha, who is important later on, to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. You got to put yourself in this story. I love this story. So he's Jacob. He's sound asleep. They go into each other that night in the tent. And he wakes up and he looks over and he goes, "What?" I'm sure he's thinking, "What in the world did this guy just do to me? I lost my microphone in my illustration." Can you imagine you served 7 years for who? Rachel, who's beautiful in form and appearance, and all of a sudden you wake up by Leah. Delicate eyes. Wow. What verse are we at? 25. So it came to pass in the morning, and behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, "What have you done to me? Was it not Rachel that I served you?" Was it Rachel that he served him for? And he even had an agreement. "Then why have you deceived me?" And 26, and Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." And right there, I'm like, well, shouldn't you have told me that 7 years ago? Come on, how many's ever been there? Not maybe in this case, but, you've been working after something and all of a sudden someone cheats you out of it. Has anyone ever been there? Does that happen out here? It happens in Tulsa, I guarantee you. And so he's cheated out of this. Verse 27, "Fulfill her week, and I will give you this one also for the service which you have served her, still another 7 years." So he paid seven for Rachel. He gets Leah. Now he's got to serve another 7 years for Rachel's hand. And so now twice the price. Come on, I'm talking to you today. Some of you are going through some situations where the enemy is trying to trap you. He's trying to trick you. He's trying to deceive you. He's trying to steal from you. But how we handle that makes a difference. He's been cheated. How we handle that makes all the difference. Then Jacob did, and so fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. Verse 29. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went in to Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. Say, more than Leah. Man, how many's already feeling for Leah right now? I want to see your hands. How many feel for Leah right now? I feel for Leah. But he always loved Rachel more than Leah, and so he served another 7 years. You know, this story is a fascinating story to me because he longed for one, but he got something else. Some of you are longing for something in your life, and whatever that is, you're longing for that, but it seems like every time you turn around, you're not getting this, you're getting something else. How many know that can even happen as you're serving God? And if you haven't experienced it, just stick with it, because you will experience it someday. And a lot of times we're longing for, we're yearning for this, and all of a sudden the tables get turned and we're in something completely different. And we've got to learn what to do with that. And so he's in a bad situation and he gets lied to, he gets tricked. And a lot of us have had those things happen in our life. And I'm talking maybe to some older people in here, but I want to talk to the younger people. Because learning to deal with these things, I didn't learn to deal with them very well. But learning to deal with these things and learning to understand that sometimes when you go after this and it doesn't seem like you're going to get there, it doesn't seem like you're going to get it, just stick with it, because a lot of times things tend to change and happen, but it's not in our timing. That's why I talked about that patience series a little bit earlier. You know, when I was in high school, you know, at Laverne, like Leedy, we had to play all sports. I mean, we didn't have enough students, and so we played everything. And I played college football, but actually basketball was my favorite sport. I loved basketball. I was the starting point guard from sophomore on up, and I loved basketball. In fact, my junior year, we had a chance to win it all. I mean, we just had all of the pieces of the puzzle there, and we had a chance to win it all. And I tried to talk my mom and dad out of not making me play football because I was afraid I'd get hurt during the football season and I'd miss my basketball season. So I didn't even want to play football, but mom didn't have any of that. I played football. But praise God, I made it all through the football season, didn't get hurt, and so I make it into basketball. I'm pumped up. I'm ready to go. First basketball game my junior year, Beaver, Oklahoma. 2 minutes to go in the game, I break my leg. I'm out for 6 to 8 weeks. I was devastated. I mean, we really had a shot to win it. And I'm devastated. My coach comes to the hospital at Beaver after the game was over, and he's crying, I'm crying, my mom and dad's crying. My world was over. Now you look back at it and go, man, that's silly. You broke your leg and you missed some basketball games. But how many's ever been there that at that moment it felt like you lost everything? And so 6 to 8 weeks, I'm out. And this is 1986. 85, 86, and so we didn't have those fancy walking boots that they have now. It was plaster cast. How many remember what I'm talking about? And they had one of those little rubber heels, so I could kind of walk on it, but it was plaster cast. And all I could do, I couldn't run, I couldn't jump. In fact, my fracture was such a point that if it moved any, I was probably going to have screws and pins. So they said, you know, you got to be very careful with this. And so all I could do was stand on the free shot line. And all I did every day, we'll shoot free shots. And I'm out there watching all of them practice, and they're running up and down the court. They're having a blast, and I'm just shooting free shots. And I was just devastated. But little did I know, that was the best thing that ever happened to my basketball game. Because my senior year, we didn't do as well, but my senior year, we went all the way to the area tournament. But in the playoffs, I shot 80% from the field and 98% from the line and averaged 23 points a game. What it did was sidelined me, but it made me focus on fundamentals of shooting. And I got to the point, my muscle memory was so good, I could almost, like Michael Jordan did that one time, I could almost shut my eyes and shoot a free shot. When I got fouled, I used to jump up and down because I knew I had two right then. Because I had shot so many free shots, I was consistent and I was confident. What I thought was devastating, what I learned is what I thought took me out of everything was actually something that propelled me later on. Oh, come on. Can you get there with me already? The trials and the tests you're going through, a lot of times we get so tunnel focused on the problem and we cry and whine and complain, but what we don't realize is what the enemy means for harm, God's going to turn it around for good, and what he means to be devastation will actually be propellant that propels you into the next level. I had more scholarship offers out of basketball than I did football because of the way I could shoot as a senior. I thought it was over, but God said, no. We're just going to work on something a little bit different. Come on, I'm talking to someone in here today that you're in a trial, you're in a tribulation, and right now your head's down. But if I can just encourage you with this, hey, learn to embrace this season because God's going to use it, and you're going to look back at it and go, thank God for that. But it's really hard while you're in that season to say, thank God for this. But the thing I've learned over the last 20 years of ministry is a lot of those things have shaped me, and I'm using them today. Embrace the tough times. Because a lot of times, come here, Parker. Parker's going to be an illustrated sermon with me today. All right, stand right there. So a lot of times in life, we see our call. And this Parker represents my call in life. And how many has ever, you know, you felt like you got a call, and maybe your call's not to preach, you know, only a few are to do that, but you feel a call. You know, how many know business is a call? Farming, ranching is a call. Oil and gas is a call. Am I in the right place today? Come on, can I hear an amen? So I got my call out there, and how many's ever had this? God clearly shows your call, and you're like, all right, I'm on. Woo, yeah. And so I start walking toward my call. And all of a sudden he says, now turn right. But God, it's right there. No, turn right. Okay, now turn right again. But God, now I'm going the opposite direction. He says, yeah, but keep going. And the further I go, the further I'm away from my call. How many's ever been there in your life? Now he says, now turn left. But God, now I'm even... Now turn left again. And eventually, I end up at my call. But it would have been much easier just to go here. But if I would have just gone here, I would have missed what I learned over here. And I would have missed what I learned over here. And a lot of times what we're learning here and here gives us the character in our life to be able to handle the call that he's given us. But if I skip those turns, I'm going to get here and I'm not going to have the character to be able to stand in it and to be able to succeed in it. Thank you. I don't believe in the lottery. I don't think as a believer I should do it. I won't say that for you, but for me. But there's one thing I know. I study it a lot. And now, it used to be like 81%. They said it's even higher now. But 80-some percent of people that win the big lottery go bankrupt within 20 years. Why? They don't have the character to be able to handle that much money, and it destroys them. If they'd had the character, they'd already had the money. Come on, I'm preaching. I know you're not liking it yet, but I'm preaching right now. A lot of times when we're going through life and we have those turns that we don't understand, our call's right here, but we don't understand we're having to do this, he's teaching us things because he wants us to succeed more than you want to succeed. But he also loves you enough to say, hey, I don't want you destroyed when you get over there. Let me prepare you so that you can get there and succeed. But you know what happens to a lot of us? That first right turn. What? My call's over here. And we quit and give up. I've seen people that had a call for the ministry, that had a call to preach, and just a couple of bad things happen, they're out. I have a couple bad things happen every hour. Some of you are on the verge of quitting right now in your call because you've had a turn and you're going opposite of where your call is supposed to take you. But he's saying, trust me, stick with me, because I'm teaching you something that's going to propel you when you get over there. Let's look at some scriptures for that. 1 Peter, this is a great verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Man, that's not something we would say today. Gird up the loins of your mind. That's just kind of weird. What does that mean? It means to take control of your thoughts. It means to make sure you don't let your thoughts run wild. Come on, how many have been through that left turn or that right turn, and all of a sudden your thoughts just go crazy? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if God doesn't come through? He says, sharpen up. Gird up the loins of your mind. In fact, look at this word loins. This one really jumped out at me. The loins of an animal is usually what they're talking about. The loins of an animal are the reproductive part of the animal. And he's saying, gird up the reproductive parts of your mind, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your thoughts today are seeds that you will reap a harvest on tomorrow. One of my mentors in the faith, I never got to meet him, but Ed Cole, he was a great men's ministry kind of guy. And he says, your thoughts will soon become words, your words will soon become actions, your actions will soon become habits, and your habits are who you really are, your character. You think something long enough, you'll begin to talk about it. You talk about something long enough, you'll begin to act on it. You act on something 21 repeated days, it's a habit, and your habits are who you really are. So he says, how important is it that we gird up our thoughts? Come on. Your thoughts make a difference. And how you're thinking about the turns in life will determine how you're going to get over here. Some of you right now, I don't see specifics, but I see thoughts of anxiety, panic. And he's saying, hey, trust me. Gird up the loins of your mind. Stop thinking those thoughts. Trust me. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. What's the opposite of sober? Drunk. Now, I know no one ever in here has ever been drunk, so let me just tell you what happens. What happens when you get drunk? One of the first things they say is that you lose your inhibitions. You know what that means? You start to do things you normally wouldn't do. How many's ever been around drunk? Don't look around at a point, but how many's ever been around drunk people, and all of a sudden they just start acting different and weird, and you want to get away from them? This is what a picture he's showing. He's saying, be sober. In fact, sharpen up who you are. Don't start to be something that you're not. Oh, man, that's good preaching. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the what? The grace, the empowerment of God that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, grace here is talking about an empowerment and enablement for you to do what you naturally can't do. So how many know that when you, oh, come on, Jesus. Get back up here, Parker. Come on, hurry. Parker's getting a workout. So when I'm on my track and he says, right turn, man, there's a grace that empowers me to, even when I'm not getting where I want to be, it empowers me. And he says, hey, there's a grace, there's an empowerment, so you don't have to do it on your own. When it looks like you're in trouble, when it looks like you're going the opposite way, his power is there to help you. Don't quit, don't give up, because it's not in your power that's going to get you there, it's on his power that's going to get you there. You're my man. Thank you. Be ready, I might call you again, I don't know. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that has brought you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient, come on, shout it. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to your former lusts. That word lust, a lot of times we just put that in sexual connotation. It's anything that your body wants, yourself wants, an intense desire for what you want. what you want will take you out of the call of what God has for you a lot of times. Amen. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to your former lust as in your ignorance. Come on, say ignorance. That means you just didn't know any better. So don't quit. Don't give up. Make sure your mind stays focused, because I want you to get these 3 points down. Don't give up on where you are now, because it may look like you're going a different direction where you're supposed to go, but don't give up on it. Don't give up on what you're believing for. Come on, how many's believing for something big in your life right now? If your hand's not up, start believing for something. Time's going to pass anyway. You might as well be believing for something. Amen. One amen, and that was my wife. Amen. Thank you. Start reaching out in faith. Start believing for transformation. Start believing for your business to triple. Start believing for influence to happen in your life, that more people are drawn to you. Come on, that's who we are. As believers, people should be coming to you and say, man, tell me about your business. How are you doing what you're doing? Why is it working so well for you? It should be influential. And so, in other words, God's got bigger plans for us as believers. We've got to be walking in it. And a lot of times, our own thoughts, our own desires, our own lust are taking us away from what He has for us. So don't give up on where you are now. Don't give up on what you're believing for. And number three, don't give up on what God has called you to. I want to just make sure you hear this from me. A lot of people in the church think, you know, that the pulpit gifts, we put a premium on people that are at the pulpit. Hey, we're just one part of the body just like you are. I get to be the mouth today, but guess what? My mouth's not doing much without my liver. Don't I have a really nice liver? You don't know. It never gets seen. But I don't live without it. Some of you think you're second-class citizens in the body of Christ because you're not a preacher. No, we're just one part, a very small part. We need every part of the body. In fact, I figured out I'm not really a mouth, I'm an elbow. And think about, what part of the body are you? I'm an elbow. Because I take the food, and I take it from here, the plate, to the mouth. Have you ever tried to eat without an elbow? I'm just a joint that takes this to here. Every joint, every part of the body has its place. And some of you are discounting yourself and discrediting yourself because you're not visible, you're not seen. You might sweep up the church and that's all you do and no one ever thanks you for it. No one even cares. But we can't live and do our things without your job. Amen. Good preaching. Don't give up. God's got a call for each one of you. Yeah, God, he shows me pictures a lot of time. And how many remember this? It says downloading software. Now, you younger ones, you got apps, and they download in about 10 seconds. And if it's longer than 10 seconds, you're wondering why. But back in the day, there's a thing called dial-up. And if you didn't hear that, you dialed up about 10 more times. And then back then we had to download programs, and this would pop up. And then you were really focused. I know you can't see it very well, but that line underneath it says estimated time left. And sometimes when you were downloading something, an hour and a half would pop up there. And you're like, oh my goodness. Come on, how many you other people know what I'm talking about? but one time, this download software would start, and all of a sudden these green bars would come across. Now, I'm going to stop it right there, because I was in the IT field, and I asked one of our engineers one time, I said, what in the world is up with this? I said, why do we have these green bars that come across? I said, what does it do? He goes, this does absolutely nothing in loading the program. I said, what? He goes, yeah, that does nothing. What it does is it shows you that something's happening in the background. because you're probably like me. I hit download, and if I don't see anything happen, I hit it again, and I hit it again, and all of a sudden I got five loads of the software on my computer. And so they put something up here that tells us it's working. And so now I can sit there and watch and say, okay, I'm almost halfway there. I'm getting there. And so I know something's happening. And then, man, when this little box popped up here at the end, it was hallelujah time. Download complete. But do you know what? Faith doesn't work that way. In faith, the estimated time left is due season. You don't know how long it's going to take. And let me just tell you this. Due season is hardly ever when your flesh wants it to be. But he says it'll come in its due season. Now, we grew up out here in this part of the country. We understand agricultural things. Man, you don't want to cut wheat early. It's got to be in its perfect season. And it's downloaded to those who are faithful and who wait upon the Lord. And the transfer rate is God's perfect timing. But when I'm believing for something and when I'm waiting for something, I just wished we would have some green dots pop up to tell me, hey, I'm about there. But there's no green dots, folks. And some of you are giving up on the download, and you might only have one green dot to go, but you're giving up early. And he says, stick with it. Stay in there. Don't quit. Don't give up. You're almost there. Just stay with it. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he's talking to believers here. He says, be steadfast. Come on, shout, be steadfast. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Immovable. You know what? I picture a big old rock and on the beach, and the waves come up, and they just smash that rock. And you know what the rock does? Nothing. It just stands there. It's steadfast. It's immovable. It can hit me all at once. Oh, come on. But I'm not going to move. He says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Come on, say always. How often is always? Always. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Come on, how many of you know your labor is not in vain? What you're doing, your elbow joint, what it's doing, it's not in vain. Let me tell you a story. One stormy night, an elderly couple entered the lobby of a small hotel and asked for a room. The clerk said they were filled up, as were all the other hotels in town. But I can't send a fine couple like you out in the rain, the clerk said. Would you be willing to sleep in my room? The couple hesitated, but the clerk insisted. The next morning, when the man paid his bill, he said, you're the kind of man who should be managing the best hotel in the United States. Someday I'll build you one. The clerk smiled politely. A few years later, the clerk received a letter from an elderly man, recalling the stormy night and asking him to come to New York. A round-trip ticket was enclosed. When the clerk arrived, the host took him to the corner of Fifth Avenue and 34th Street, where stood a magnificent new building. That, explained the man, is the hotel I built for you to manage. The man was William Adolf Waldorf Astor. The hotel was the original Waldorf Astoria. The young clerk was George C. Bolt, and he became its first manager. George C. Bolt is managing a small hotel in a tiny town, and he's just working the desk. He's just a clerk at the desk. He's just doing what he's there to do. But he never knows who could come across the table from him. Some of you are in a small job in your own mind. You think it's insignificant. You don't think it even matters. But right now, just stay with what you're called to do. Stay diligent. Stay steadfast. Don't quit. Don't give up. Because you never know what God's going to do in the next moment. He's just a clerk. But he just faithfully does what he's supposed to do. And all of a sudden, he's managing the most famous hotel we know about. Your download complete is almost there. But some of you are fighting the temptation to quit and to give up. Don't quit. You never know what the next turn is going to be. We got to just stay with it. This verse, Colossians 1:23 says, if, that word's a conditional word, meaning we have the choice. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. Come on, do you hear these words today? Stay with it, grounded and steadfast. And we're not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which Paul, I became a minister. He says, be grounded, be steadfast. But whose choice is it? It's your choice. If you do this. 2 Peter 3:17 and 18 says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware. Why does he say beware? When you read the Bible, when you see words like this, make sure you stop. Because why would he say beware? Because there's a big chance of you falling into a trap here. In other words, he's saying, hey, beware. Beware lest you what? Fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked. Satan's going to try to get you off a track. He's going to try to get you to quit early. Because he knows if he gets you quit early, even if you get there, it's going to destroy you because you don't have the character to handle it. Oh, man, this is better than you're amening today. I'm amening. He's dropping new stuff to me. Some of this is not even in my notes. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Savior Christ. Savior Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:9, I quoted this one a while ago. He says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season. Come on, say due season. Now look at this next phrase. We shall reap. There's not even a question there. The only question comes back to us. If we don't lose heart, if we don't quit, if we don't give up. Stay with it. Stick in there. Due season is coming. James 5:7 says, therefore be patient. There's that word again. Brethren, until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Come on, Lord, send both of them. You also be patient. Come on, say be patient. Tap your neighbor, tell him to be patient. He says, be patient and establish your heart for the coming of the Lord is hand. And the last verse I want to talk about is cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. I told you this sermon was 20 years in the making. About 20 years ago, our pastor, we were traveling ministry. Debbie was in traveling ministry even before we got married, so we've been in traveling ministry for a lot of years. And at our home church, we had some problems with our singles ministry. And our pastor came to us and said, hey, will you pastor the singles? And I did not want to do it. In fact, I had an idea that they were probably going to ask Debbie because she had been going about once a month to preach to them. And I looked at her and I said, hey, don't you dare. Don't you dare take that job because you'll be going by yourself. I don't want to go. And so pastor comes up this one Wednesday night and he catches both of us and he says, Ty, Debbie, will you help us? And so Debbie just kind of stepped back and she says, all right, he's going to tell him no, I want to watch. And so I said, absolutely we will, Pastor. I don't know what I was thinking. Yes, sir. And so we were interim pastors. And so we started it off, and it was kind of a bad situation. We had to kind of clear house of the leadership and kind of rebuild it, and so we weren't very popular. But we started restructuring this. And Debbie tells the story. I wish I had time to have her come talk about it, but she tells the story. She kept asking God, how long? How long? How many's been there? God, just how long do I have to do what I'm doing right now? And God spoke to her one day and says, quit asking how long and ask me what my will is in this. So we were interim pastors for our singles for 16 years. I did it as a volunteer. I was a department head in a church of 15,000 people, and I did it as a volunteer. 16 years. Every Friday night for 16 years. Now, I told you I played college football, so all of those high school football games I missed for 16 years. And out of that 16 years, we were probably only missed the pulpit maybe 5 times out of 16 years. And I'm telling you, there were a lot of times. Because we were singles 29 and above. And so there were a lot of single agains, and there were a lot of singles that were single for a reason.
What kind of eyes do you have?
Delicate eyes. But it was a tough time in our life. And there were a lot of times I wanted to quit. But what it taught me, we were evangelists, but it gave us the heart of a pastor. It taught us to not just have one sermon that we come out and preach, but our whole resource table is stuff that we did there. And now we're still traveling and ministering, but we're still getting a fruit of what we did there. A lot of that 16 years, I didn't want to be there. But I wouldn't trade that 16 years for anything today. Because it shaped me into who I am. Genesis 49 ends the story of Jacob, Leah, and Rachel. You know, we look in Leah. You know, it seemed like she was always trying to get Jacob's favor, and he was always leaning more toward Rachel. But she had more sons than the maids and Rachel all put together. Out of Leah came the tribe of Levi. What are the Levites? The priests, the workers of the temple. And also out of Leah came Judah, which came David and the kingly line, including the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus himself came out of Leah's lineage. And at the end of his life, they're in Egypt. And he gives them instructions. He says, when I die, I don't want you to bury me here. I want you to go back. And Rachel died in childbirth with Benjamin, and she was buried in one place. And when Leah died, she was buried in another place. And Jacob gave instructions. He says, when I die, I want you to take me back, and I want you to bury me by Leah. Genesis 49, go read it. He says, bury me by Leah, not by Rachel. A lot of times, the toughest things in our life, the hardest things in our life, when we look back at them, we say, thank God for that, because I survived today because of that. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Some of you are really facing some tough times in your life. And I don't want to belittle them. I know they're real. And I know it's tough. But if I came to do one thing today, it's to encourage you, hey, don't quit, don't give up, even though it's a tough time. Because God's working in this tough time and through this tough time. And you're going to make it through. You're going to make it through. And I want every head bowed and every eye closed, and I don't want anyone looking around, because I don't want anyone embarrassed on this, but I've felt it 3 or 4 times today. That some of you are about to quit on maybe a career, a calling, or maybe on a marriage or a family. And no one's looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Camera's close on me so no one can see it. But if that's you and you're wanting to quit, I want you to raise your hand right where you sit. Yeah, yeah, lots of hands. And again, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you can put your hands down. This is one I've felt twice. Someone in here is about to quit on life. And you maybe never have told anyone else. Hands are already going up. But you're thinking about quitting on life. Okay, I see your hands. You can put them right back down. Lord, thank you that you brought us all the way from Tulsa with one mission, just to say, hey, stay in it. Don't quit. Don't give up. God's got a plan. And it may not look like it now. It may look like you're going opposite, but he's got a plan. Stay with him. His grace will help you through this situation. Some of you know there's a call, and you really struggled because you're like that right turn and that other right turn, and now you're going the opposite way, and you're like, God, what in the world? I felt like I had a call, and now I'm going away from it. And there's two of you. Some of you are going through that right now, and you're struggling. If that's you, raise your hand. Yeah, lots of hands. But then on this one, I thought this, that there was some of you that after that second right-hand call, you just quit and gave up on the calling completely. If I'm talking to you, raise your hand. Yeah. Several hands on that one. Lord, I thank you that even though we don't understand it, Father, your word promises you never leave us, you never forsake us, and I thank you for it. I'm going to pray over you here in just a minute, but there's one more call. Still every bowed heads and closed eyes. I really believe here there's someone here today that I think you love Jesus. There's no way, I mean, no reason you'd be here today if you didn't love him. But this is what I'm sensing. There's some of you that love him, but he's really not Lord and Savior of your life. You know, I was a pastor's son. I got saved at 12, but I walked away and I lived my own life. And the whole time I was still going to church, I was still reading my Bible. I still loved God, but he wasn't Lord and Savior. And maybe you've never made Jesus your Lord, or maybe you have at one time and you've just walked away, and bottom line, he's not Lord. You're living your life. If I'm talking to you, I just want you to raise your hand right where you're at. We're going to pray for you. Yeah. Hands going up. Yes. All right, you can put your hands down. I want everyone to stand right where you're at. And I know we're getting close to noon, and if you really have to go, you can slip out, but I really feel like we're not done yet today. And I told you I wasn't going to embarrass you, and so I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to ask you to come to the front, but if it would be embarrassing for you to come front, you can stay right where you're at. I don't want you to be embarrassed, but there is something about stepping out and coming to the front and saying, I'm not going to let this hold me back anymore. So if you raised your hand on any of those, or you should have raised your hand on any of them, and you want to, I want you to come to the front. I'm going to lay hands on you. I'm going to pray for you. So if that's you, just come to the front, and we're going to give you a hand as they come. We've got some coming already. Come on, give it up for them as they're coming. Hallelujah. Come on up. As we start praying, if you want to come up, you can still come on up. Lord, I just thank you right now. And we're going to pray right now. I'm going to lead us in a prayer for those that raised their hand to make him Lord of your life. I know it's not easy up here, but if you raised your hand, we're all going to say this to prayer together. You're not going to be alone. We're all going to repeat this together, but we're going to lead that. I'm going to lead you in this prayer right now. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God, that you came to earth to die for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and wash me clean. I believe you were buried in the grave and that God raised you from the dead. And I make you now my Savior. And I make you now Lord of my life. Now, fill me with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I thank you for those that came up. Lord, I thank you, no matter where they're at in their life, that they're making a commitment. They're not going to quit. They're not going to give up. They're going to be steadfast. And, Lord, I thank you that your grace, your empowerment is there with them. And, Lord, I thank you for the call and purpose and destiny. And, Lord, it's not revocable. You've called them to it. And so, Lord, all we have to do is stay with it. And Lord, I thank you that you're developing the character to be able to handle where you're bringing them. And Lord, I just thank you for it right now. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this special young couple, Lord, that your hand's on them. And the things that they're walking through right now, Lord, it's shaping them. And it's hardening them so that they will be able to stand the test of time. And Lord, I just thank you for it. Character is being developed. And Father, I just thank you that no matter what they're going through, they're going to make it. And I say, don't quit, don't give up. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And Lord, I just thank you for it. I pray over every hand that was raised that they didn't come up. Lord, I thank you that you sent a word directly to them. Don't quit, don't give up. Those that are contemplating quitting the calling. Lord, I thank you that you're strengthening them right now. Lord, I pray specifically those that were contemplating quitting on life. Lord, I thank you that today you brought them a word, and I pray that they just hide it in their heart, that they don't quit, that they don't give up. We need you. You have a call and a purpose that we need. Stay with it. Stay in there. Do not quit. Do not give up. Lord, I thank you that even through the tough times, we can look back and say, Lord, you are with us, and you helped shape us and mold us. And Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing up here, that you're doing a deep work in hearts and families. And I thank you for it. Call, purpose, destiny. Lord, we thank you for it. I thank you for it. Lord, I pray over all of the kids about to go to school and college. Lord, I know that you're going to be tough times as they go through it, but help them to be strong, to stand strong. And Lord, I know you're going to help them and you're going to be with them, because you never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. We give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. And Lord, we just rejoice with you today in Jesus' mighty name. Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you for just listening and participating with me today. It was an honor to be here. I'm going to turn it over to Mark Ward. God bless you. Thanks for being here today.
Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap. Amen. It's awesome to know that. How many needed that? I know everybody did. For me, Pastor Ty, I want to tell you, I got up this morning, dear friend of mine, I texted him one word. I said, my problem is with what I'm doing in this life is I don't have enough patience. My exact text this morning to a friend of mine. So it's amazing when God does that. Amen. Well, I'm not going to hesitate. Going to turn you loose today. Thank God for Pastor Ty. Resource table is back here. I encourage you to get that. He was sent here with a message, amen. I love when God, the thing we all need to hear is come expecting, and I try to every week. He's got something for me every day. We just need to be looking for it. And I just feel silly when I don't, because I definitely heard from the Lord today, amen. I feel silly when God doesn't have something for me today, but he does every day, okay? I'm just going to pray and we'll dismiss. Father God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for a great word. God, we just pray a blessing over Pastor Ty and Debbie and all that they do, God, as they go forward and everywhere you send them, God. They're just a blessing to this house. And God, we just thank you that this week we're going to take this word and we're going to go forth with it today. And we're going to be patient in it and we're going to look for you in the things that we do. And we just bind it and seal it, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.